question is, Wes, they don't have hamburgers and hot dogs. Yes, it seems like it's duly charcoal broiled.
Right.
Yes, Albany would like all that.
Yeah.
But the Holy Grail to him is a place that has real charcoal, real wood or real charcoal, and that will just make just regular common hamburgers or hot dogs on. And this place does not have that on the menu.
No.
Hot dogs aren't the same.
Yeah. But their food is really good. And one of the things that you'll notice immediately is the sides are tremendous. Like, there's the mashed potatoes, there's the sweet potato, there's the bread, and then you get a full-on salad with salad dressing.
Right, and a
along
huge,
with your
huge amount of meat.
Yeah, huge amount of meat. So I think that's pretty cool. So does it matter where we are?
No, because we're not in Orinda, California, so nothing else really matters. Once you miss that, nothing else matters that much.
Are we in trouble?
Maybe.
Is that bad? That's bad.
Maybe so.
We're supposed to always be in Orinda, California. I think the listeners will give us a break and let us eat outside of Orinda, California.
Okay. But I told someone today that I was going to Orinda, California.
Well, we did go to Orinda,
California. That's true. I was there. Yeah, you're right.
So we're eating at a restaurant in Lafayette, which Mark calls Laugh-A-Lot.
Laugh-A-Lot, yeah.
And it's a very, very... Well, it's... People seem to think it's very popular. It's called Bo's. Mm-hmm. It's Bo's Barbecue. And
it's spelled funny, though.
How is it spelled?
I forget, but not the way... Not B-E-A-U. Not... I forget, but it was just a little bit unusual. And maybe it is B-E-A-U, and I was expecting something else.
I need more barbecue sauce, Bo. They serve it on the side, no matter what you do, so...
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot to ask for hot. Oh, you were warning me to ask for hot or barbecue sauce, but I forgot all about it. It's okay, though.
Their mashed potatoes are really good.
Okay. Is it real potatoes, or is it from a mix, or a powdered mix?
Isn't a mix from real potatoes?
It's not the same, though. They probably dry it out first.
Okay.
It's not the same.
So what's the name of the show, Mark?
What's
the name of the show?
What's new is old.
Yay!
WNO. WNO.
Yeah. Yay.
So I had to figure out the URL, and it has a WNO, and that's
right. That's right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, WNO. I should eventually actually go purchase a real URL for the show.
Right.
Because WNO is most likely taken.
Yeah, something short like that certainly would be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I own one or two. Three-letter domain names, but not that one.
Then we call it WNO. .def. For death.
Okay.
Slang term for something that's really cool.
But there is no .def.
No, that's death.
But the country code would be two letters. It wouldn't be anything like that.
Well, if it's com, three letters, isn't it always the?
Yeah, no com. Yeah, those special ones are three letters, but the average country code is two. Now, there's no such thing as .def normally. There might, for all I know, there might be a country called .def or something, for all I know, but not the three letters.
Like MS is for, not Microsoft, but some island?
The island of Montserrat or something.
Ooh.
I once got an MS.
Excuse me. Can I have another barbecue sauce? Mild. He likes the hot.
Hot sauce? Yeah.
Oh, your hot sauce?
Yes, please.
Okay. One hot sauce? Only that?
Two. One mild, one hot. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, .ms has always reminded me of Microsoft. And I've actually seen some pages now where Microsoft has figured that out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. And Microsoft actually has a couple of pages with .ms. But I figured that out a long time ago. And for a while, I got monkeyboy.ms for... You know, the Steve Ballmer videos of him jumping up and down in front of an audience and kind of looking like a monkey.
Yeah, they're famous.
Yeah. I was going to post that video on monkeyboy.ms and pretend that it was a real Microsoft site sponsored by Microsoft. But I never got around to it, of course, because I always just get domain names and never bother with it.
This is Mark trying to bring on a lawsuit from Microsoft by emulating a Microsoft website.
Yeah.
Just for the entertainment purposes alone.
Mm-hmm. But .ms was kind of, because they were like, $25 or $35 a year, so I didn't bother to renew it because I knew I'd never use it anyway. But.
Yeah, how many domains have you bought that you have currently parked somewhere, but you're absolutely doing nothing with, and they point
60 or 70, but their .coms are pretty cheap. Both of them are .coms, they're fairly cheap.
You
know,
you ever sold any?
No, I've gotten bids before.
Okay.
GoDaddy has a service of giving you an estimate of your domain, what it's worth, and. I gave them my best one, and they said they came back with very low price. I never bothered me. Figure if that one's not worth it, none of the other ones are. But anyway, so what's new this week?
Well, what do you think of the barbecue market?
It's good.
It is good.
But I might be, maybe I'm being faked out by an artificial smell. That's why we really need to see the kitchen. We can't really see the kitchen from here.
You went in the kitchen.
I didn't see the wood. I didn't see that part of it. I could have wandered around, I suppose. They didn't seem to care.
We should go back there.
Right.
So what's going on with the? Of course, the top of the news is the Yahoo purchase by Microsoft.
Although that's not happening, right?
They said no. Microsoft is threatening to do a forceful, hostile takeover.
Right.
But isn't somebody else making an offer? Aren't there?
Yeah, I have seen a couple. I don't know how definite it was, but I know they've been.
What's the deal with Nokia? Is there somehow some people that I've heard are thinking that Nokia is going to make a bid?
Do they have enough money? Is Nokia rich enough to do that?
Yeah, I bet. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess Nokia would want to have Yahoo on their phones. They could just do that anyway. I don't know if they have to buy the company. They could just go into some deal with Yahoo anyway.
So what I don't understand is, what do you really get when you purchase Yahoo? Besides customers. I mean, that's the biggest
thing. Well, the name.
For what?
Customers. Whatever patents and copyrights they own. You know, whatever intellectual property they have. Their employees, if their employees are any good.
But what is, what is the product that they offer? Well, is it mail? Is it, is it the chat?
Well, Microsoft wouldn't care about the mail or the chat. They already do all that. Right.
Right. So are there things that we just don't see? Or?
I think for Microsoft, it'll be the advertising. Yahoo competes with Google in the advertising space. Right.
Okay.
So I think it would be partly for that. Yahoo hosts a bunch of web pages. Microsoft's always trying different experiments to get into web hosting for companies and stuff, and Yahoo maybe is more successful on that than Microsoft has been.
Okay. Because I don't see Yahoo as being an extremely successful company.
True. Yeah, people are definitely saying that. Had a great deal of promise at one point, but looks like Google was beating them, and people were beating them and everything.
Wasn't Yahoo a brand of milk? On the East Coast, I remember buying a bottle of Yahoo.
I don't know, but in the National Museum of Cryptology in Washington, D.C., actually it's in Baltimore, right near D.C., which is run by the NSA, and it's right next to the NSA campus, and it's a museum of all kinds of things about, the government's use of cryptography in wars and all that. And they have some military museum pieces. I think this is because of some spy plane, the original U-2 spy plane that was shot down or something, or
okay.
Some exhibit like that. They have the helmets of the pilots, and how pilots always have nicknames and stuff. So they have a helmet that says Yahoo on it, that's the guy's nickname. And I have pictures. I always meant to tell Yahoo about that because they probably don't know that it exists.
Okay.
I always meant to tell them. I never did. I have a picture.
I think the founders were drinking Yahoo milk.
Okay.
What do you want to name this? I don't know.
Are you thinking Yoo-hoo maybe?
Oh, Yoo-hoo. You're right. No,
that's still
Yahoo.
Around. Yoo-hoo's still around.
Okay.
Yeah.
My fault.
Yeah, it's still around.
Oh,
rare.
So
but,
off. Yeah. Okay.
But it's like chocolate milk. It's not, or chocolate something. I doubt it has much milk in it. But it's like a carbonated chocolate milk.
Yeah. Is it? No, I remember.
Isn't it carbonated?
They had like a strawberry flavor as well.
Maybe, but I wouldn't have bought
Yoo-hoo,
that.
Yoo-hoo, not Yahoo.
I wouldn't have bought that. But the. No, but I think it's carbonated.
Really?
It's been a while since I've had one.
I had it on the East Coast.
Right. But see, it's around. It's around in California. Rare.
Huh. OK. okay, so you start up another company called Yoohoo.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it's not really that clear why Microsoft would want to buy Yahoo rather than just doing a partnership with them for different things, but I guess they are competitors.
Well, all right, so off of that, what else is new? Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Yahoo, and you were mentioning instant messaging and stuff.
Right, exactly.
There's a new multi-IM product that everyone really seems to like. It just started about a couple of weeks ago, but everyone's really kind of moving over to it and likes it better than Trillium and the other older ones. It's called Digsby, Digsby.com. And it's in just a total beta test right now, where you need to have a code from someone, an offer code from someone to get onto it. But I know of a code that's good for thousands of people, and it just came out today, so it should be around. Just CNET, C-N-E-T.
Okay.
That CNET has a deal with Digsby to distribute a whole bunch of code. So you should be able to get on with that.
What's the advantage of Digsby, though?
It does multiple IMs. It does, like Google IM and MSN and Yahoo and ICQ and AAM.
Okay, all the basics.
All those things. It does file transfers within them and stuff. I've never really liked the other ones, so I haven't used the other ones enough lately to really know how Digsby is better, but people who use the other ones do seem to like it better. It just has a very, very nice look, very, very good look of the buddy list.
Okay.
And very good look for the chat windows.
I use Audium on the Mac.
Okay.
And then for a while, I was using Trillium on the PC, but I didn't like the fact that Trillium charged. Audium gives you almost all the same features, but there's no fee.
Digsby is free at the moment. I don't know why. There's no advertising.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know what the business plan would be.
Well,
but right now,
the one common thing I found between all these different things, applications, was that their file transfers always had problems.
Yeah, Digsby was having a problem with older versions of AIM, but it seems okay now. I'd say they're very responsive. You submit a bug report. We actually get back to you in a couple of days and tell you what they did with it. And I submitted bug reports about file transfers.
Okay.
And they actually have been fixing them. The only one left is it won't let you transfer an entire directory. Like AAM to AAM, you can transfer a whole subdirectory without having to zip the files first. Whereas Digsby won't do that yet. Oh, by the way, the other little detail I forgot to mention about Digsby. Although people like it better just as an AIM, multi-IM. But it also interfaces with Facebook and MySpace and various email clients. It has a POP3 and IMAP and Hotmail interface and AOL interface and all that kind of stuff and Gmail. So in your one single buddy list, down at the bottom of the buddy list, you can have a line for Facebook, a line for MySpace, a line for all your email accounts, and each line shows you how many messages you have pending for that thing. And then you move the mouse to it, and let's say you move your mouse to your Hotmail line, it'll open up a window with a listing of all the Hotmail, all your new messages.
Okay.
Cool. And from there, if you want to read them, most of the functions that show up on that list, if you click on them, it just opens up the real Hotmail, the real Google or Gmail or whatever.
Yeah.
But some of the functions they'll do locally. Like, for example, you can delete a message or report a message as spam right there from the little Digsby window without having to bother logging in.
Awesome. Okay. Because Audium does all that stuff by pointing you to the website itself.
Okay.
You'll get a little alert if a new message arrives, and it'll give you some information about that message, but it's up to you to, if you want to go, to that message, there's a button you have to click that takes you to the web-based version of the mail.
Okay.
For all of your services. I mean, it's nice that you can have it check your mail for all the different IMs that allow that mail, but...
Will it do POP3 and IMAP also? Or?
No, it doesn't. It just simply... I think it's all web-based. It's it's doing some sort of, not SOAP call, but it's doing some kind of HTTP, look. Like, it logs into your account via HTTP or something
right.
On the back end.
Okay. Whereas I say Digsby will do regular POP3 and IMAP email as well. And I say it'll also check for private messages on MySpace and Facebook. It tells you how many private messages and what kind you have available. And then if you want to see your news feed, like on Facebook, you move over the Facebook line and just hold your mouse there, then a window pops open with your last 10 or 20 news feed entries. Wow. From Facebook.
That's cool. Cool. So open social.
Right.
The standard that all these web social networks are supposed to apply themselves to.
Did Facebook accept it? Yeah, they're probably not going to do it. Yeah.
No, I think they are. I think they are. I don't remember. I don't have any information, no facts on that, but I think I've heard people talking about that.
Facebook, people are complaining that Facebook apps can... You install a Facebook app and it asks you for your permission to give to know details about yourself. But once you do that, the app also knows information about your friends. Whatever your friends have shared with you,
right.
The app can see all that. So the app can be gathering up data about your friends for spam purposes or whatever without them having given permission to do that. And open social probably does the same thing. I really don't know. And the other thing I've been using lately, and nowadays I am using it through Digsby right now, is Twitter. Digsby doesn't have an interface directly to Twitter, but you can interface with Twitter through Gmail, through Google Messenger.
Okay.
Actually, they have a Skype interface also. Cool. And now that I think about it,
Digsby does a Skype too? Or?
No, I just dawned on me.
Twitter?
Just dawned on me. Yeah, Twitter has, it's really just robots. And if there's anything that has a Messenger function that takes robots, Twitter just has a robot for Gmail and for Google Talk. And they have a robot for Skype. So you just put Skype in IM mode, basically, and talk to someone with something named Twitter.
So I know about Twitter, but describe a little bit about, I'm a StumbleUpon user, so that's similar to Twitter in the sense that you can follow people. You can follow what they're doing, but it's more like sitting back. It's not as...
Yeah, it does.
I've never used Twitter. I don't know what it does.
I would never use it either, except I just saw an article that talked about... Twitter has, you have two different ways of watching people. Twitter is just something where someone, like in Facebook, you can just set your status, what you're doing right now. That's all there is on Twitter. You just set your status all the time.
Okay.
And it's limited to, I think, 160 characters or something. So it's just meant for short messages about either what you're doing right now or some URL you just saw or just something interesting you want to say. And so you just say that. I mean, there's also a syntax where you can direct a message to a specific other Twitter user, but normally you just do it.
Okay.
So the people who see that, when you make a change to that, there's two classes of people who will see it. There are people who can follow you. You give a Twitter command saying follow space and then your user ID. And then whenever you do an update, whoever's following you will immediately see it. Or people can watch for keywords. They can watch the entire set of all Twitter users watching for certain keywords, and if those keywords come up, then they'll get a message about it.
Okay.
And if they see someone like you, constantly using the keywords they like, then maybe they'll want to follow you. Maybe they'll want to learn more about you and start following you or something.
Okay.
Okay. So I saw an article about how much fun it is to track on Twitter all the swear words, all the common swear words. And just sit back and watch all these messages come through where people are saying, that goddamn girlfriend of mine did so and so, or just a bunch of stuff like that kind of comes through. So I got bored with that quickly and I started tracking real things I'm interested in, like VoIP and Digsby. Right now I'm tracking Digsby, stuff like that. So you just track a bunch of keywords your director interested in.
Cool.
And you have these, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands maybe of Twitter users. And if any of them ever use your keyword, you see it.
Hmm.
And then I found
but you can search for very specific words, right?
You track them. You can't search the history. Okay. You just say track these words.
Right.
And then if anyone Twitters a message that has those words in it, you'll see it.
Okay.
You'll just be shown that and who it's from. And then, but I found... is it ZRNet? I forgot who it is. But one of the main web publishers of tech blogs and stuff has a Twitter feed where anytime they post anything whatsoever on any of their blogs, they get a quick Twitter message about that.
Okay.
So it's just really up to date and stuff. Much more up to date even than RSS readers and all that. So I'm watching one of those, one of those fake IDs of a company.
Okay.
And I don't know, it's just kind of fun. I haven't really talked to anyone on it. I haven't really done you know, it's really supposed to be for you and your friends and everything. We don't really know anyone else using it either. But it's just fun to track certain keywords that I like and see what people are talking about. So the way you use Twitter, you to set your status, you can either go to twitter.com, and after you build an, you have to go there and build an account.
Okay.
And then you go to twitter.com/ and then the user ID brings you that profile where they don't normally have other profile information, but you see the history of everything that that person has been Twittering lately and who's been sending private messages to them, you know, what kind of thing they've been watching. And then, so when you log in your own page like that, you set your status. But then what's kind of confusing is for other keywords, like for tracking and tracking people, following people and tracking keywords, you do that through your instant messaging client. Because Twitter, you don't sit there on a Twitter webpage. You bring them up on an instant message client, or you bring it up on your cell phone as SMS messages, but not both at the same time.
Okay.
So if you're going to go with SMS, you set your status with Twitter by just saying an SMS to their code phone, their code number, you know, and then which you'll see as you start getting Twitter messages through SMS, you'll see what their code is and just reply to that.
Okay.
Or they say they're if you go on Google Talk, their robot is twitter@gmail.com, I think. I forget now because I set this up a long time ago. So anyway, so if you just put that on your buddy list in Google Talk, then you'll start getting whatever Twitters you've asked for.
Oh.
And you talk back, you set your status by giving a command through that.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Does it only work through Google Talk or?
No, well, that's what people were recommending, either Google Talk or the Skype client is what the people were recommending. I'm not sure if they have anything else. Even the Skype one, I think, is some fake robot that someone else is running. I think maybe the official Twitter company only does that Google Talk one.
Okay.
I think the Skype one might have been faked by someone else.
Cool. I should try using it.
Mm-hmm. But you like, if you're interested in some particular product, they say you just track anyone talking about that product.
Yeah, that's good.
Or if you're going to an event, like what they recommend is that track the keyword of the event, and maybe you'll meet people who are there in the same event you are. You know, especially if you have a lot of people watching you, and you say, "I'm at CES today," that people will start contacting you. They're at CES also, or just someone who's tracking the keyword CES might contact you. Or whatever.
So if somebody wants to put a bullet in your head, they can show up there or whatever event.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's okay. That doesn't really happen.
No, I know. Yeah. So what else? What else is awesome?
Let me shuffle through my notes here.
Starbucks.
Yeah, Starbucks.
Oh yeah.
Is dropping their partnership with T-Mobile.
Right.
And later in the year, they're going to be going with AT&T Wi-Fi instead.
They're also laying people off.
Yeah. Starbucks is? Or?
Yes. Yeah, Starbucks is closing doors.
They're still
laying some people off.
Yeah. Why? They're not going to have one every half block anymore?
No, I don't think what stores they're closing will make a dent in the total number of Starbucks that are out there. But
right.
My understanding is that they have, for the first time ever, posted a loss. Hmm. Or expect to post a loss.
Huh.
Okay. And the way to combat this, and I guess one of their main competitors is, believe it or not, McDonald's.
They have free Wi-Fi. No, not free. They do have Wi-Fi.
Well, yeah, I'm not even talking about the Wi-Fi. I'm just strictly talking about like the cost of coffee.
Huh. Okay.
And I guess McDonald's has, their coffee has gotten better. I don't know because I don't go to McDonald's for coffee. But
I have gone to McDonald's for Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So
right, maybe they should just close stores that aren't profitable, and you know, maybe they probably just have too many stores.
So I got that information off of Ken Radio, though. So I don't
know. Okay.
But
interesting. Yeah. But anyway, so they're going to be, so when they do the partnership with AT&T, they're going to be free if you have a Starbucks card, which I don't think is any minimum. I haven't really seen anything about it.
I read in the paper that it's going to be free to people who are AT&T customers of their broadband.
That's true, but supposedly it'll be free up to 2 hours a day using a regular Starbucks prepaid card.
That's cool.
Which those can be obtained so cheaply and stuff. It seems like that's too easy. That's why I wonder if they'll have a minimum. Maybe your Starbucks card has to be have some amount on it or something. I don't know how it's going to work.
I don't know.
But
weird.
Yeah, well, Starbucks has been free in England for a while, or at least they're the plan. I've seen that article that Starbucks in England was going to be free, or maybe already is.
Huh.
Used to be able to roam. I don't know if they still can, but last time I was in England, I had a Starbucks account, and they allowed roaming from the United States for free. Yeah, it was very tricky to figure out how to log in. It kind of hinted away very well how you'd log in as a roamer from the United States.
I remember you talking about
this before. But I did figure out how to do it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, while you're in Europe, you were able to log in to the... Was it T-Mobile? It was an account, though, right?
Yeah, I had a T-Mobile account in the United States, and for their Wi-Fi, for non-limited monthly account. And say it was possible to use it in Europe by plugging in some special way. I had a hard time figuring out. Did I tell you that how I sat like a homeless man on top of the garbage piles in front of the Starbucks?
At the time I was working for a startup in the city, and you and I had a conversation the night before,
right.
And you called me to continue where we left off, and as we're having our conversation, suddenly I hear this very strange horn in the background, and I'm thinking to myself, that sounds like he's on a train, I don't know of any train in San Francisco that sounds like that,
yeah.
And I said, where are you? And you said, oh, I'm in Europe, going under the tunnel.
Oh, I see. No, that's not this. The friend I was with, he's just very controlling, very pushy, very controlling. And if I carried my notebook around with me, he would let me go into a Starbucks or something and check my email maybe for about 10 seconds, then he'd get bored and start pushing. What are you wasting your time with that for? Let's go. This is Grant. This is in London.
Oh.
This particular store is in London.
Okay.
So I was just getting more and more and more desperate to have long email fixes and stuff. So what I would do after he would go off by himself at night, I would try to find that Wi-Fi place that I could go to. Mm-hmm. But around the hotel we were staying at, the only place was a Starbucks, and it was closed.
Okay.
So, but Starbucks always leaves the Wi-Fi turned on at night. So I would sit on the front porch of the store and get my Wi-Fi fixed, with the whole crowds of people walking by wondering who the person is. And to make it worse, actually I kind of liked it, but to make it worse, apparently the tradition there is the store takes all the garbage bags and just leaves them in big plastic bags and leaves them on the front porch. They don't have to put them in bins or anything, and apparently someone comes by and removes all the bags.
Okay.
So the porch was totally filled with these bags. So in order to get my Wi-Fi fixed, and also as a place to sit, I would just sit down on top of the garbage bags. So it worked. Yeah, they weren't smelling or anything. It was all sealed in. And it was okay.
Dude, this is a homeless person with his laptop computer sitting around.
But people walking by see this homeless-looking person sitting on the garbage bags, but with a notebook.
Yeah.
and they'd all stop and stare and wonder what this was all about and stuff.
So yeah. Grant didn't have wireless at all? Or?
No, he didn't even have a notebook with him. He didn't care. He wasn't as addicted the email as I was, so
nice.
He didn't even care. But that's why I say he would just get very annoyed if I spent more than 10 seconds in his presence checking email. He'd get very annoyed by that. But there was this time in Malaysia, I know Grant from the United States, but he moved to Singapore for 3 years, and then he went back to the United States, and now he's living in Malaysia now and working. So when he was in Singapore, I went to visit him a couple of times. We took trips around different places. So we wanted to check our email. We went to this national park in the middle of the boonies, in the middle of the jungle in Malaysia. And we wanted to check our email. So we asked at the hotel. Actually, everyone being in Malaysia, even though it was kind of in the boonies, they would at least let you use the computer in their office. They'd at least have a dial-up internet access that they would let you use or something.
Okay.
So they go to this hotel, and they don't have any internet connection whatsoever. So they say, cross the river. This national park is right on both sides of a river with little ferry boats that would, little ferries that would go back and forth across the river all day long and stuff like that. They said, go across on the other side. There's an internet cafe over there.
Okay.
And I have video of all this too. We should post this someday.
What year was this?
5 years ago, maybe.
Okay. So it wasn't that long ago. Okay.
And I have video of this whole thing.
Okay.
So from where the hotel is, to get down the river, you have to go down ramp after ramp after ramp. You know, it was pretty far down to get to the river. Then you hop onto these boats. They kind of don't really exactly pull on shore. You just kind of jump on them or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take you over to the other side where there's some restaurants. And they would, different of these ferries would kind of work for the different restaurants. They tend to, you didn't want to go to the restaurant. You just wanted to go to the other side. They would still drop you off at some restaurant. Okay. And you have to, so these are just like floating restaurants on the river.
Okay.
So you jump from the ferry boat over to the restaurant. And then you walk through the restaurant. Then they had just like a ramp, just a 2x4 piece of wood or something, going from the restaurant to the shore as a plank. So you kind of had to walk along that. And I'm not used to do that kind of stuff, but I never fell. I managed to do it.
Okay.
Filming Grant the whole time, because he was the star. I was just filming, you know. And then when you get to the other side, we figured it out after a while because it's not anywhere near there.
Yeah.
You kind of turn right, go along the shore for a while. There's this dirt road that goes very steeply up in the hills. And you kind of walk a couple blocks up this dirt road, passing by a bunch of like youth hostel kind of places and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it passed by a school that had like a rooster as a school mascot. And there was this rooster sitting outside there and just still always hanging around the school and stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking of this video because I had this videotape where I pan over to the rooster and stuff. But anyway, so then you go a couple more blocks, then you turn left and go down this really dusty dirt road again.
Yeah.
And finally you come to the Internet Cafe. And the Internet Cafe has had maybe 7 or 8 computers.
Okay.
And the entire cafe would run on 1.33.6 modem.
Wow.
And that was actually fairly common. That wasn't that unusual there to find internet cafes run off of modems.
Okay.
It wasn't that unusual. And so anyway, this one just ran off of 1.33.6 modem. And so when we go in there a couple of times, the owner realizes that we're the smart Americans. We must know all about this internet stuff, you know.
Okay.
So he says that he bought a new router, a new hub or a new router or something that could do 100 megabit Ethernet instead of 10 megabit Ethernet. And he tried it, but the cafe didn't seem to get very much faster. People were still complaining it was too slow. What's wrong? Why didn't this new hub work? So he tried to explain to them that you're running this whole stupid cafe off of one stupid... Can I swear?
NASA yes, you can. It just means I have to mark this
as... one fucking modem, 33.6 modem, that's going to be slow no matter what you do. That's the problem.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what your fucking router is.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, he didn't really believe us. He kept on playing with it, trying to get it to go faster.
He didn't believe you, really?
I don't think he really believed us.
Okay. Wow. Potential to handle a lot of bits, but really tiny pipe.
I know. Yeah.
I remember when I had a dial-in account with... what was the name of the company? It was one of the first internet service for best.com in San Francisco.
Okay.
Off of like, what is it, Third? It was like somewhere in Third and Bryant, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Anyway, down by where the, close to where the baseball park is.
But that was dial-up?
That was dial-up.
Yeah.
But it was a Telnet account.
Okay.
And they didn't have high speed. They must have supplied high speed to companies and stuff.
At the time,
they were selling a lot of. At the time, it was either a Netcom account or a Best.com account. And
right.
The reason why I think Netcom is what I had at first, and then Best. The reason why I had a Best account, which was more expensive, was because they offered web space.
Oh, okay.
And I used that to I used to Telnet in.
Right.
And do some telnetting stuff to build websites and just for fun. And my intention was at some point I would learn how to use Perl.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But did they offer, because, what was the other one? I forget now.
Netcom?
Netcom, yeah. Say, guys always on the Netcom side. But Netcom at one point started offering a full screen service. I don't mean the browser, but just getting, because normally when you dial in, you're just in the character mode, right?
Right.
You really couldn't do any graphics, just strictly in character
mode. Right, it was all text.
Right. But they also had those, Slip?
Slip accounts.
Slip accounts, yeah. Slip was a protocol for dial-up to do real, TCP IP and real, so if you could do full-blown web browsers.
But you had to install it locally, though, right?
Yeah. So at the time, Netcom offered a true slip service that you could dial into and with a real slip client and stuff. But on the regular dial-up side, there's a program that you could run at both ends. If the ISP would let you run programs on your account, or some of them would offer it.
Okay.
I forget the name now, but there's a program that you run at the ISP end that would take the TCP IP from you and turn in the just line-by-line commands and pass them on to the internet that way.
Okay.
Or something.
What would that let you do?
Well, you became a full TCP IP client where you'd run a program at your end and run a program at the ISP end. So you could do TCP IP commands. The program at your end would turn them into character mode commands, and then your program at the other end would pick up those character commands and turn them into TCP IP again, send them on over the internet.
Okay.
And vice versa.
So I forget
the name of that program right now, but a lot of people were using it.
Because if you had like a telnet, you had to use a terminal to actually log into the internet. You had to log into your Netcom account.
Right.
A browser just wouldn't work on your desktop. You had to have
Not at all. Yeah.
Right. You had to have some way to connect the browser to the internet in order for it to work. And that.
At this era, regular private people, Netcom was about the only thing that regular private people could do to get on the internet, and they didn't offer any slip service or any kind of.
Right.
The other one? Slip and PPP. No, PPP is the other one.
No,
PPP, just PPP, right? Yeah, they had these two dial-up protocols called PPP and Slip or something. But at the time I first started doing this, Netcom was about the only thing that private people could use to get on the internet, and they didn't offer either one of those.
Okay.
So someone came up with this program that would fake it, and I wish I could remember the name. So we all kind of figured out how to use that program. We were all doing that. Then later on, Netcom came up with a different prefix. So instead of having a netcom.com account, you'd have some prefix.netcom.com account instead.
Okay.
Yeah, so a lot of people were switching over to that, but it was a little bit expensive, and you have to change your email address over to one of those email addresses. So I just kept on using the simulator because it seemed just as good. I didn't really see any reason not to do that. But at some point, everyone started coming out with dial-up, real PvP dial-up, and those. Switched over to other ones. Who was that?
We're down to seconds. I want to say happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there.
So what's your gift? You had never opened it. What is it?
My gift?
Yeah.
My gift was, Cadbury? Was it a Cadbury?
Bar?
It was Cadbury bar with strawberry filling on the inside.
That's what you gave her.
That's what I gave her. She gave me a happy Valentine's Day basket with a balloon, an aluminum balloon filled up. And there's candies inside, but she wouldn't let me open it up.
Oh, I thought the balloon was candy. Oh, that balloon's not chocolate?
No.
Oh, for some reason, on the outside,
it looks like it might be
foil wrapped chocolate.
No, it's foil wrapped air.
Okay.
But no, in the basket, there's candy and there's like cellophane over the basket, so you can't really access it that well. And I wanted to get in there to actually have the candy, and she was kind of looking at me like I'm not supposed to do that.
Right.
So I didn't do it, but.
That's
what's the point? Who wants a balloon?
I know.
Anyway,
will it float? Is it helium? If you set it free, will it float?
No, probably not. I haven't tried it. I wasn't allowed to touch it.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So that's the end of the show.
Yeah. So thanks.
Your sweet potato. You're not even.
Would you like my sweet potato?
Sure.
Okay. Because I really don't. Something about the squishy sweet potato doesn't. I'll have a tempura iced.
Oh yeah.
Tempura iced is good.
No, sweet potato is fine.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mark.